Hello, everyone. This is Dennis Anderson. I'm the managing editor of the Lawrence Journal World. With me today are Sean Hiddle and Christine Metz. Sean and Christine are the reporters who are doing the series of stories on sexual assault in Lawrence. And Sean, I'd like to put the first question to you. How did you come up with the idea, and what were your initial goals for the series?
Well, I think initially the idea was to try to get a scope of sexual assault here in Lawrence because, you know, we hear about single incidents, and a lot of times they're the most unique or the most far out things that happen. You know, people look at the case here in town where the police and the attorney general believe that there might be a serial rapist, and that's a case that gains a lot of attention and, you know, rightfully so, you know, causes a lot of fear in the community. But other than those incidents, you know, we don't really have a good idea of how often sexual assaults happen in town, and also who they're happening to, when they're happening, and why. So we wanted to get the data, you know, take a look at it, and then use that data to highlight some other issues involved with sexual assault.
Good. Christine, where did you get the information, and who are the agencies that helped?
The raw data on where sexual assaults are happening and how many there were in the community came from the Lawrence Police Department. We had requested about 2 months before the series ran those numbers and went back and forth to kind of decide what information they were willing to give us. And then the numbers on the age ranges of the victims and where the assaults are occurring and what weapons were used and if drugs or alcohol were involved, those came from the KBI, who collects that data on for all communities and breaks it down by agencies, and they had a lot of resources there.
So from all your reporting, what did you find out?
Well, you know, when you look at the overall scope of sexual assaults in Lawrence, we found 671 offenses between 2004 and 2008 in that 5-year span. And so with that, we mapped it, you know, where these offenses happened geographically in the city. And for the adult offenses, what we found was that a high portion of them were happening around the campus area. And that kind of matched our findings that, you know, a lot of these cases involve someone you know, in that area around campus. You've got a lot of young people, you've got a lot of, you know, drinking that goes on there, and those are other factors that contribute to that. So when you take that population, put them in a small area, you know, that was one of our major findings. When you look at the child sexual assaults, we found there were 219 of those, of the 671, 219 were child sexual or offenses against children. And within that data, we divided the city into 9 sections. And one section, I guess you would kind of consider it South Central Lawrence, the area south of 23rd Street, and then between Louisiana and basically Holcomb Park.
So these are like natural neighborhoods you divide?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to look at kind of streets, major streets in town, and kind of divided, at least with the child offenses, kind of in a, you know, we kind of divided it in thirds and then cut it down in thirds of that. And the one neighborhood, like I said, that South Central neighborhood had 51 offenses. And then also the neighborhood east of Massachusetts Street and kind of down to 23rd had 43. And so those were the two neighborhoods where, you know, the largest offenses happened, you know, and then it was kind of varied throughout the rest of Lawrence.
Okay.
And away from the numbers, just talking to community members, I think two of the things that were most interesting is that there was this dichotomy out there where students and young women were afraid of this stranger who could attack them and enter into their house because of these reported serial rapists, but on the other hand, it's much more likely that you would know the person, that you had drinks with the person, and so there really was these very two opposite ideas on what was happening and what the perception out there was. And then I think for the talking to people about the sexual assaults for children, there it became clear that there are quite a few services that other communities are providing that we aren't here in Lawrence, and that people are working towards bringing them here, and that for a child who is sexually assaulted, it's a very hard process that has years of lingering effects, and it's not very good outcomes.
Okay. Christy, can you explain what a young woman can do first, and then secondary, what can be done to protect children?
Women, I mean, a lot of the advice that people gave, just regular safety advice, lock your doors, if you're out late at night, make sure you have friends that come with you, kind of have a designated, like you have a designated driver, have a designated watch person. Mm-hmm. So if you were going to leave with someone you didn't know, that have someone step in and say, are you sure you want to do this? Do you trust that person? And then for children, a lot of people said to protect children, just have a really open dialogue with your child, and also kind of talk about what good touching and bad touching is, and always encourage your child to come talk to you. You'd rather know more than less, and so just keeping those lines of communication, which I think is true for preventing a lot of these other kinds of alcoholism and drug abuse, and so starting those kind of conversations early is a good idea.
Sean, what were some of the surprises you ran into during this series?
Well, when we looked at the data on sex crimes against children that were reported to police, you know, there were two addresses that kept popping up. And I'm not sure if we mentioned this before, but we had the location to the block. For instance, we knew that certain offenses were happening, you know, at the 1400 block of Massachusetts Street, but we didn't know the specific address. So one of the blocks that kept popping up, it had 15 offenses listed on that block. However, when we went to that actual site and looked around, it was a mobile home community that had a couple hundred homes that shared that same block address. So, you know, maybe that when you look at that number initially, it's pretty surprising. But then when you consider, you know, that really encompasses maybe about 10 or 20 city blocks, it might not be so surprising. And then the other number that we found is that there were 10 reported offenses at the 1400 block of Massachusetts Street, which is the location of Central Junior High School. And then there's only a couple homes there. And so, you know, obviously, as far as a single block in Lawrence, that was the highest total. And so, you know, initially that was pretty surprising. But once we, you know, talked to the school personnel and looked at the issue and did some investigating, that number maybe wasn't as surprising as it would first seem. You know, two of the offenses were incorrectly coded. In addition, you know, you think about it, you've got 450 students come there every day, and these are kids between 12 and 16. You know, so some of these behaviors, you know, are going to happen in that environment. So
does a parent in that neighborhood need to be concerned about what's happening there?
I don't think so. I don't think that those numbers are a cause for alarm. And as I said, you know, when you find out what kind of offenses these are, these are student-on-student offenses, and they may be something as simple as, you know, a male student grabbing a girl in PE class. So, you know, I don't believe that there's anything involved in that neighborhood or in that school that fosters any of this. You know, and they sounds like they certainly addressed the issues when they did occur.
What were some of the challenges you ran into in working this series?
A, getting the data. Like I said before, that was about a two-month process, and so figuring out what we're looking for, and then talking to police, getting the numbers, getting them to hand over the numbers that we had wanted, that was quite a process. The other really difficult thing anytime you do this kind of series is finding the people who've been affected by it most, which would be the survivors, to talk to you about it, and convincing them to tell your stories, and finding those people are always hard to do.
What did they tell you, the survivors?
That it's something that lasts with them forever, that it's always there on the back of their mind. But the two survivors that we talked to, and both of them had been attacked by strangers and kind of had to go through this post-traumatic stress syndrome afterwards, they in the end they said it's made them a stronger person, and that's something that they've had to live with, but they've also become stronger by it, which I thought was interesting to hear.
Well, and when you talk about challenges too, I mean, we had so much data to look at. And when you're talking about sexual abuse, there are so many issues involved. And I mean, this could have been a 10-part series. But, you know, you really have to narrow it down into something that's going to be useful for the community and also helps, you know, really highlight some of the major issues. So it was really hard to condense all that and get it in, you know, get it in a manageable series. So
For the reader out there, what do they definitely need to know and, or take away from this series?
That it happens in our community all the time.
Okay. And also, you know, particularly dealing with the child offenses, you know, when we looked at the neighborhoods and we looked at it demographically, there wasn't a huge difference between the neighborhood with the highest offense as far as income or education compared to other neighborhoods in town. And from talking to the experts, what they tell us is, you know, these are offenses that are committed by people you know. Like Christine mentioned earlier, you know, this, you know, it's usually a relative, it's usually a family member, or, you know, someone that's coming into the home. So, you know, you just have to be really careful about who you let into your home and who you let watch your children.
Okay. Well, I want to thank each of you, Sean Hiddle and Christine Metz, for joining us for this podcast. We're talking about sexual assaults in Lawrence. And you could read the entire report on LJWorld.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.